Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and continue to talk about a book called Let It Go, Forgive So You Can Be Forgiven by T.D. Jakes. I would encourage you to do that. Pick up that book, and I think you'll be really blessed by it. One of the things that is so huge in forgiving people, but is a byproduct of forgiveness, is learning to trust again. And, you know, I've been on the side of have to rebuild trust, and I've had to let people rebuild trust with me. And, you know, the Bible doesn't say, you know, we're not commanded to trust. You know, we are commanded in Scripture to forgive. Forgiveness is something within your power to rebuild, even if alone if necessary. But trust needs a partner, or it can't come to the prom, T.D. Jakes likes to say. So, you know, partner involves a decision by both parties. Forgiveness, it can just be one, but trust takes two. And, you know, obviously marriage is the first thing, and there's so much unhealthiness in marriages and adultery, and a lot of that happens because of unforgiveness about things. And yet, trust, whether it's in a marriage or any relationship, is a joint effort. And I love the example that T.D. Jakes gives in this book. He says, you know, there must be other qualities in the process if the new construction of trust is to withstand the test of time. And he gives the example, just as rebuilding a home lost to a hurricane or a tornado requires the collaborative effort of a construction team, such as carpenters, electricians, plumbers, just to name a few, we must also employ additional workers to produce our new building. Trust can be rebuilt when the following additional workers are brought to the site and join the construction crew. And he focuses on four additional workers that come to the construction crew of building trust. And the first one he talks about is honesty. He says, honesty lays a new foundation. You can't rebuild trust if you can't admit that trust has been violated. And, you know, that can be really tough, especially for a lot of guys. You know, pride's involved, and you don't want to admit that trust, you've let somebody down or you violated their trust. And, you know, you're thinking, well, I mean, yeah, adultery, that's simple. But, you know, it could even be somebody that, you know, says, yeah, they'll be home at dinner for 6 o'clock each night, and they're never there until 6:15 or 6:30. And instead of calling and saying that they're going to be late, or just saying, you know what, I need to move the time back to 6:15 or 6:30. They just act like it's not a big deal. And, you know, whether it's in a marriage or whether it's, you know, somebody you're meeting to play golf or tennis with, or, you know, go to a movie with, you got people that are always late. And, you know, to build trust with somebody, if you say you're going to do something, you just got to admit sometimes, hey, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I've not been able to be trusted. Maybe it's with money. You know, you give people money and to pay bills or things, and whether it's a child or whatever, and yet they have proven over time that they can't be trusted. So until one of the people in the friendship, relationship, whatever, admits that that there's not been trust, it's been violated, you know, you can't build a new foundation. So it all starts with honesty. A second part of reconstruction, okay, is T.D. Jakes shares in his great book called Let It Go, Forgive So You Can Be Forgiven. To build trust, you have to have an understanding why the offender betrayed you is often a necessary part of the rebuilding trust. What was the offender's motive or gain for the offense? If you can't discuss why it happened, trust will remain uncomfortable. I know that sometimes for me, being a people pleaser, I make too many commitments or in a day, and it's going to make me late for some places, and or I'm not able to enjoy some things by the end of my day because I've been so overcommitted. And so I have to understand that. And I've got a couple guys in my life that can speak truth to me and honesty in that, and some family members also that can do that. So a couple of things to rebuilding trust. One is honesty, and then an understanding of why the person that violated your trust, why that continues to happen. The third thing that T.D. Jakes suggests that can help rebuild trust is consistency. Consistency provides the structure for renovating trust. There needs to be a continual practice of conduct to keep moving forward. It's difficult to expect a scab to form and the skin to heal fully over a wound that you just keep re-injuring. You know, that's just not possible. The wound must have constant care and ongoing protection if the body is to heal completely. A constant, steady diet of care helps trust to heal more rapidly. I know a couple that I was counseling one time, and you know, he came clean about the affair, and God was really doing a great job of restoring the marriage and trust being built. And they were having good communication, being consistent and talking. But then the wife just asked to check his phone, and he said, you know, she had no problem, and she checked I think it was a text or an email, I don't remember, but and he had contact with this person just to let them know that a person that they both knew well had died. And so it was part of a working relationship, actually. So, and there was nothing romantic in it at all, but the wife was hurt because the wound was starting to heal in her heart some, but then there was contact with this other woman, and so she just, you know, confronted him about it. And they talked about it in person, but they also talked about it in the counseling session. And so I thought it was huge. The husband said, you know, you're right, I was wrong, I shouldn't have done that, I should have got somebody else to do it. He said, you know, obviously you saw it, there was nothing romantic or anything personal, it was all strictly a fact, matter of fact, and a, you know, a person that we both knew through business had cancer and was about ready to die. They called hospice in and thought they'd want to know, but you're right, I should have had somebody else contact them, I shouldn't have done that. So that wound was opened up, but because they were able to talk about it, they were honest and understanding to the points that we talked about earlier today. The consistency had been good, but then unfortunately got off track there by that one move. But you know what? That's part of the healing process, and there are detours. Just like we know, if we drive on Interstate 75 down to Tennessee, whether it's Knoxville or Nashville, there will be the Bluegrass Parkway, I guess at 65 and 75 South, 65 going towards Nashville, I believe, or 75 South to Knoxville. There is always going to be some detours or road construction going on. But this couple was dealing with it in a healthy manner, and really proud of them, and God did a great work in their marriage. The fourth thing that The final thing that he talks about in this book, Let It Go, T.D. Jakes, the outstanding pastor in Dallas, forgive so you can be forgiven. He says, to build trust, you got to have great communication. It has to be open and ongoing, allowing trust to bloom again in depleted soil. Man, I love that. Communication has to be open and ongoing, allowing trust to bloom again in depleted soil. He said, trust needs to talk. If trust can't discuss, it can't be rebuilt. Some of the hardest things to heal are the things we hide and the secrets that we keep. They are hard to heal because trust needs to clear the air. You can't push the mute button and expect trust to incubate in the silence of suppressed expression. So communication is really huge, and, you know, texting is great, but, man, I really think verbal, I think it's best when it can be in person, because nonverbal communication, I learned in graduate school, is 80% of communication. And that really blew me away, but that was 20 years ago when I was in graduate school, a little over 20 years now, actually, and yet now I totally understand that and know why that is true. You know, you can say things, but you see a person's eyes or their tone of voice. And texting, you just can't tell that. And emails, texting and emails. And, you know, phones obviously better than those two. But, man, it's huge when you can have it in person, face-to-face, especially conversations that are sensitive in nature when you're trying to rebuild trust. The bottom line is, though, that trust needs time to heal, but forgiveness is a decision. It's an act of one's will. It's a choice that you make of your own accord. the restoration of trust doesn't always respond in all people at the same time. Some people have the capacity to throw off pain more quickly than others. For many people, the particular incident that caused us to lose trust is not the only experience with such pain. So, you know, you got to keep that matter, keep that in mind when you're trying to figure out healing and forgiveness and building trust with somebody, because everybody comes from different backgrounds and experiences. And so when we're looking at the re-injury of a past wound, often the process takes longer as the person senses a pattern in their own life that makes them question their own judgment. It isn't just that the distruster has lost confidence in the one who hurt them. What often goes unsaid is that more times than not, the victim has lost confidence in their own ability to discern what is true. That is often the most difficult aspect of the trust process. You know, question I got to ask you, T.D. Jakes asked in this book, Let It Go. Have you ever doubted your own judgment? I mean, you know, you meet somebody and you have a certain first impression. After you get to know them and trust them, they betray you. I think if you can relate to that, you can understand, you know, the courtroom style badgering that occurs in the trial taking place in your own head. You know, you wind up accusing and indicting yourself for being a fool simply because you didn't see it coming or you ignored what you first saw in your first impression. So, you know, one of the things that I want to encourage you about, you know, in healing and rebuilding trust is no one rebuilds on what they lost. Rebuilding begins when you appreciate what you have left. Let's say it again. No one rebuilds on what they lost. Rebuilding trust begins when you appreciate what you have left. And, you know, every circumstance and every situation is different. And it takes time. And I talk about grieving a lot in the last few months on this program. Had several guests where we've addressed that. And June, early July. I want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today, and check those out. Because one of the things I really do believe that causes us to not trust and not to be able to forgive is because we don't take time to heal from wounds, to grieve losses. And loss of trust is something that is obviously a loss and needs to be grieved. But the difference is you can't stay there forever. Sometimes, though, I think the problem is we don't grieve at all and realize that hurt or pain and give time for that wound to heal. But you can't go years doing that. That's unhealthy too. And so that's why I've done a lot of talking about grieving and forgiveness. Man, just see so many people in their own emotional and mental prison. And so I hope that you've been blessed. This is our third program in a row on forgiveness from the great book called Let It Go by Pastor T.D. Jakes. Forgive so that you can be forgiven, which obviously Jesus taught us that in the Bible. So I want to encourage you, if you need some help in that area, today we just talked about trust. But, man, if that's an area you need to work on and be able to forgive some people that have hurt you, man, go check out our podcast, especially over the last couple of days here. And that is simply at our website, hopeishere.today. I'm Greg Horn. We'll see you next time on Hope Is Here.
Hi, I'm Tay Henderson, Executive Director of Lighthouse Ministries. In addition to serving meals twice a day to our hungry Lexington neighbors, we also provide shoes through our Michael's Feet Ministry. In June of 2014, I noticed that many of the people we were serving did not have adequate shoes. If they weren't duct taped together, there were holes in the soles. The day that a man named Michael approached me with scotch tape holding his shoes together, I knew I had to do something, and Michael's Feet Ministry was born. Now we are blessed to replace over 50 pairs each month thanks to individual donors and donating businesses through WJMM. Please consider being a part of this blessing. Each pair you give replaces a battered pair and helps a battered person know they are loved. Thank you.
For more information on Lighthouse Ministries, check out their website at lighthouselex.org or contact them by phone at 859-259-3434.